He put the coin in his pocket and hurried after Hazel, seething inwardly. Some way, someone was going to pay for all this. He focused his glare on Hazel's unresponsive back. She didn't seem to feel the cold at all. Owen thought, not for the first time, that he might have been better off fighting for his life back on Viramond. At least he'd understood the situation there. And it had been warm. He didn't understand much about Mistworld, and what he did repulsed him. No law, no custom or honor, no social structure. Everyone out for themselves, and to hell with everyone else. A world of criminals and social misfits, living in poverty and squalor unknown anywhere else in the Empire. They were free, and much good their freedom had done them. Owen felt a sudden rush of tiredness wash over him, and for a moment he was weighed down by the uselessness of it all. He couldn't live here. Not like this. Without civilization and the comfort of social position, his life had no meaning. He would simply wither and die, like a flower from its bed. The thought shook him out of the daze he'd fallen into. He couldn't die. Not while his enemies still lived. They had destroyed his life, taken away everything he believed in, and spit on his name. He had to live, so that someday he could take vengeance on the Iron Bitch and all who had aided her in his downfall. Owen smiled tightly. When all else fails, there is always revenge. He wasn't going to stay stuck on this miserable planet. Somehow he'd find a way off, and then he'd think of something. He had to. In the meantime, he had to survive. He would endure whatever the planet sent, do whatever was necessary to raise enough money to buy him an army and a way off planet. Because if he just lay down and died, then Lionstone would have won after all. He lurched on through the deepening mud and slush, glaring at everyone and everything around him with renewed disgust. Surely it couldn't all be like this. There had to be some bright spots in the gloom. A window opened above him, and people scattered out of the way. Someone cried a brief warning, and Owen jumped back just in time to avoid the falling contents of an emptied chamber pot. The window slammed shut again, and people moved on unperturbed, as though this was an everyday experience. Owen sniffed. Probably was. No sewers. Right. How could people live like this? Didn't they know what they were coming to when they ran from the Empire? It came to him slowly that they must have, and came anyway, because for them life in the Empire was worse. The thought nagged at him and wouldn't let him go. The Empire was full of luxuries and comforts for the upper classes, and security and stability for the lower classes. Unless you were a clone, or an Esper, or some other kind of unperson. Unless you upset someone with connections, or couldn't meet your quotas, or fell ill once too often. There was no place in the lower orders for the weak, or the troublesome, or the unlucky. It seemed to Owen that he had always known this, but never really thought about it before. As long as his cushioned world went on uninterrupted, he hadn't had to. He couldn't say he hadn't known. He was a historian, and he knew more about the realities the Empire was based on than most. How corrupt had the Empire become that the living hell of Mistworld could be such an improvement? Owen sighed. His head was starting to ache again, probably from too much frowning. He'd think more about this later. He had a feeling he'd have lots of time to think about things in the future. The Blackthorn Tavern turned out to be a pleasant surprise. It was cozy and comfortable without being cramped, and had obviously had a lot of money spent on it. The fixtures and fittings were of the highest quality, and there was a pleasant sense of sanctuary in the smoky room from the harshness and pain of the world. Owen leaned against the long, highly polished bar, sipping an adequate wine, and tried to ignore the vicious pins and needles of returning circulation. The Blackthorn was crowded but full of good cheer, and the noise was almost but not quite overpowering. Everyone had to shout to be heard, and those who weren't shouting were singing, with more verve than accuracy. Owen found it all rather charming in a rustic sort of way, and was quite prepared to stay there as long as was necessary, if not longer, particularly if the wine held out. Hazel was talking earnestly with the Blackthorn's owner, a tall, willowy platinum blonde called Cider. They were head-to-head at the other end of the bar, apparently lip-reading as much as listening. Owen studied Cider curiously. She seemed a strangely delicate flower to be running a tavern in a cutthroat area like the one he and Hazel had just walked through. According to Hazel, it was called Thieves' Quarter, and Owen wasn't a bit surprised. Presumably, Cider had a small army of well-trained muscles standing by, ready to jump on anyone who made a nuisance of themselves. Owen had spent some time unobtrusively trying to spot them on the general principle that if trouble was to come his way, he wanted to at least have some idea of which direction it was coming from. He hadn't had any luck. Everyone looked equally violent and disreputable. And then Cider looked past Hazel directly at Owen, and he stopped with his drink halfway to his lips. In that moment, she looked harsh and uncompromising and very dangerous, with the coldest blue eyes he'd ever seen. The moment passed, and then she was smiling at him and beckoning for him to join her and Hazel. Owen emptied his glass and moved unhurriedly down the bar to join them. He had no doubt that Cider had deliberately allowed him to see the ice beneath her surface, but he wasn't at all sure why. Perhaps to impress on him that she was someone to be taken seriously. Owen gave her his most charming smile as he arrived, and kept his hand near his gun. Cider led the way to a private room up on the next floor, a small, unadorned room with comfortable chairs and a crackling fire. Owen sat as close to it as he could bear and tried not to look too interested as the two women discussed Hazel's old times in Mistport. Much of it seemed to have been either disreputable or illegal, and Owen couldn't say he was at all surprised. Eventually, the two women caught up to the present and smiled fondly at each other.
You've put a lot of work into this place. I can't believe this is the old snake pit where I used to drink,
Hazel said finally.
I came into some money,
said Cider, smiling demurely.
I've been able to indulge myself.
Where's Cat?
Around. People make him nervous.
Cider shot Owen a mischievous glance.
Does this young gentleman know about your checkered past, Hazel? Have you told him how you made most of your money here in Mistport?
No, and you're not to tell him. He doesn't need to know.
It's a perfectly honorable profession. We've all done a few things we don't like to remember when money gets short.
That's as may be.
Hazel glared at Owen.
And you can wipe that look off your face. I know what you're thinking, and you're wrong.
I wasn't thinking anything, Owen said, trying hard not to think the word prostitute, or at least keep it off his face.
Don't worry, Hazel. Your secret is safe with me. Still, it must be said we've all come a long way since you and I and John Silver were thick as thieves and searching for some direction in our lives. He was a pirate, I was a fence, and you were doing what you were doing. Now he's in charge of Mistport Security, of all things. I am the highly respectable owner of a highly profitable tavern, and you're an outlaw with a price on your head. Quite a good price, too. The word was out on you and your friend 10 minutes after your somewhat distinctive ship touched down. Don't think I've ever had a lord in my tavern before, let alone one with as famous a name as yours, Lord Deathstalker.
Call me Owen. The title's been stripped from me. How long have you known about us?
Relax, dear. I don't turn in old friends. I don't have to anymore. And I have my own reasons for hating the Empire and all its works.
Her hand rose briefly to brush against a few thin scars on her face.
Half this city has been turning the other half upside down looking for you. And the only reason no one's found you yet is because you've been moving around so much. Fortunately, no one's connected you with your last visit, Hazel, so they don't know to check your old haunts. But it's only a matter of time before someone gets lucky. That's why I brought you up here, away from prying eyes. Times are hard here in Mistport, especially since Typhoid Mary tore the town apart. The prices on both your heads are enough to tempt anyone. Even me, if I didn't have such a personal grudge against the Empire. There's nowhere in this city that's safe for you now. No one you can trust except each other. And you can forget about selling your ship. No one will touch it now at any price. The Empire's already said it'll blow it apart on sight no matter who claims to be flying it. I'm afraid you two are stuck with each other. Everyone else has to be seen as a potential enemy. Even I might be tempted if you stayed around long enough. Friendship is nice, but it doesn't pay the bills.
There's always Ruby Journey.
Cider pulled a face.
Ruby Journey. I should have known that name would come up. I never did know what you saw in her. I always thought of myself as a cold-hearted bitch, but dear Ruby's in a class all of her own. You can't seriously be thinking of throwing yourself on her mercy. She's a bounty hunter.
I said that.
She's my friend.
Bounty hunters don't have any friends.
Do you know where I can find her?
I'm glad to say I haven't the faintest idea. She's around somewhere, no doubt, killing someone for money. Or just for the fun of it.
She's not that bad.
She's a sadistic, amoral psychopath. And those are her good points.
You said yourself that Mistport is crawling with Imperial agents, bounty hunters, and amateur assassins. If the Aristo and I are going to survive this mess, we need someone like Ruby on our side, if only to frighten everyone else away. Do you have any idea at all where we might look for her?
Cider shook her head dubiously and reluctantly provided Hazel with a short list of places to check.
Much as I hate to admit it, Deathstalker, it appears we're going to be sticking together after all. If we separate, that'll just make us easier to take. Besides, you have a connection that might prove useful after all. Jack Random.
He's in Mistport? I hadn't heard he was back. If you're looking for an ally, you could do worse. He's probably the only person on Mistworld that the Empress wants even more than you. Your best bet is to try the Abraxas Information Center down on Resurrection Street. They're a small business, haven't been around long. But if anyone can find him for you, they can.
Thanks for the name, Cider, but we should already have a lead on him. Isn't that right, Deathstalker?
Hazel looked pointedly at Owen, and he sighed resignedly. He activated his comm implant and contacted Ozymandias.
Everything all right with the ship, Oz?
Oh, sure. A few lowlifes tried to break in, but the Art security systems took care of them. Mistport ground staff removed the bodies. There have also been a number of attempts to break into my systems, but nothing I couldn't handle. A strictly amateur hour. These people wouldn't recognize a sophisticated system if they fell over it in the gutter.
I'm not entirely sure they have gutters here.
Can't say I'm surprised. Where are you? What's been happening?
Tell you later. It looks like we're going to need Jack Random after all, Oz. What was the address you had on him?
The Abraxas Information Center.
Owen shook his head slowly.
My father's hand is getting clearer by the moment. He's doing everything but lead us by the nose.
He broke off contact and looked apologetically at Hazel. My AI says the same as your friend here. The Abraxas place has all the answers.
I should hope so. They charge enough. Do you still have access to the money you banked in, Miss Port Hazel? The money from your previous occupation?
Yes,
said Hazel, glaring darkly at her.
It's under an assumed name. I should be able to get to it easily enough.
Good. You're probably going to need it. Mistport's an expensive place these days.
Cider led the way back down the stairs and into the bar, which, if anything, seemed more crowded than ever. The press of bodies seemed to open up before Cider, with a smile and a nod for everyone, but she came to a sudden halt as an alarmingly large figure blocked her path. Owen took one look over Cider's shoulder and immediately dropped his hand to his sword. The figure brushed Cider aside as though she was a child and stood smiling down at Hazel, ignoring Owen completely. The crowd fell back a little to give them plenty of room. They knew better than to get involved with a wampir. Owen studied the smiling figure carefully. He'd heard of the wampir, but never actually seen one in the flesh. Not many had, and lived to tell of it. The wampir had been created to replace the treacherous Hayden men as the Empire's new shock troops. The augmented men of Hayden had proved too powerful to easily control, so the Empire scientists had tried a different approach. They created a new form of artificial blood, supercharged and potent, that would turn any man into an unstoppable warrior. Strong, fast, and self-regenerating. The only drawback was you had to kill your subject first, flush out the old blood and pump in the new, and then revive him. The scientists finally achieved a 70% success rate, which was good enough for the Empire. The result was a dead man walking. They felt no pain or pleasure or sensation of any kind. Their only joy was in combat, their only thrill the limited pleasures of mental satisfaction. They delighted in torture, cruel as killer cats, and as patient and deadly. They didn't eat or drink, but their artificial blood had to be replenished and revitalized by the periodic infusion of fresh human blood. Mostly, the Wampir drank it, as much for the effect on witnesses as anything. They made excellent shock troops, with a tendency to be over thorough and hard to call off, but in the end they were just too expensive to produce en masse, and the project was reluctantly scrapped. But the Wampir needed battle like they needed blood, and so they scattered throughout the Empire searching for a little organized death and destruction, and starting it as often as not. They were never popular, but often used, and so their legend grew. The undead soldiers who sought their own deaths as eagerly as any others. Owen supposed it was inevitable that a Wampir should turn up on Mistworld. Everyone and everything else did. This particular specimen was 7 foot tall, muscular in a lithe, feline way, and altogether disturbing. His skin was completely colorless, and Owen knew it would be ice cold to the touch. His face was long and angular, all planes and high cheekbones, and his eyes were dark and unblinking. The smile that stretched his pale lips wasn't reflected in his eyes, and he held himself like a fighter waiting for the bell. For the moment, his gaze was fixed on Hazel, and Owen was glad for it to stay that way. The Wampir was openly disturbing, on some deep, primal level. Owen glanced at Hazel to see how she was taking it, and was surprised to find she seemed more angry than anything else.
"Hazel Dark,"
said the Wampir,
"you've come back to me."
"Lucian Abbott. Of all the people I didn't want to meet, you were right on the top of the list. Why couldn't you have done the decent thing and died long ago?"
"I did. They brought me back. Now I live on through people like you. You shouldn't have run away, Hazel. You're mine, and always will be. Your blood has rushed through my veins."
Owen pushed in beside Hazel. "What's he talking about?" Abbott's smile widened.
"Haven't you told him, Hazel? Haven't you told him how you used to be a plasma baby?"
Plasma baby. A chill rushed through Owen, and he was hard-pressed not to shudder. He knew the term. There were those who gave their human blood for the Wampir to drink straight from the vein. A master and slave relationship that was said to be closer and more intense than sex or love. One of the few perversions banned throughout the Empire. The Wampir were dangerous enough without an army of fanatic blood junkies as followers. Owen looked at Hazel, and she glared at the pity she saw in his face.
"I was never one of his sick puppets. I sold a pint of blood on the black market occasionally, but only when times were hard and I really needed the money. His filthy lips never touched my veins, and whatever he got from me, he paid top rate for. Now get out of my way, Abbott, or I swear I'll put you in the ground where you should have been years ago."
"You're mine, Hazel. Kneel."
There was a sudden power in his voice, vile and inhuman and overpowering. Everyone shuddered who heard it, and Hazel fell back involuntarily. She tried to draw her sword, but her hand was shaking too much. Several men and women in the crowd dropped to their knees, and still more fell back, leaving a wide space around the Wampir and his chosen victim. "This has gone far enough," thought Owen, and murmured the code word, "Boost." Power flooded through him and burned in his muscles, wiping away the command in the Wampir's voice. Without looking round, Owen picked up a nearby table and hit Abbott with it. The heavy wooden table swung through the air like a giant fly swatter and slammed into the wampir with unstoppable force. The impact picked Abbott up, threw him across the tavern and out through a window that was closed. Glass flew in all directions, and the wampir disappeared out into the curling mists. Everyone waited tensely, but he didn't reappear. Hazel nodded approvingly to Owen as he put down the table and dropped out of boost.
Nicely handled, Deathstalker.
Owen smiled modestly. I have my moments.
Not that I couldn't have handled him myself, of course.
Perish the thought. Owen looked round at the rapt crowd. Anyone else? There was a slight pause, and then everybody very studiously went back to what they had been doing. The noise returned to its previous level, and Owen was about to leave when Cider stepped in front of him and put a restraining hand on his chest.
Not so fast, hero. There's a little matter of a broken window to be paid for.
Owen looked at the shattered remains of the window he'd thrown Abbott through, and reluctantly admitted that she had a point. He mentally checked the contents of his pockets, and looked at Hazel. I appear to be somewhat financially embarrassed at the moment. Do you think you could, Hazel glared at him and dug into her pockets.
Next time, choose a less expensive way of dealing with him.
It was your old boyfriend.
He was not my boyfriend!
Personally, I never did know what you saw in him,
said Cider, counting the coins Hazel had given her, and then making them disappear about her person.
He really wasn't your type, dear.
Hazel started to explode all over again, and then sighed resignedly.
All right, so it wasn't just the money. I was feeling down and just in the mood to be bossed about and mistreated by someone big and dumb and domineering. You know how it is.
Unfortunately, yes. Nice to see you again, Hazel. Do let me know how it all comes out in the end.
Hazel and Cider embraced quickly, kissed the air near each other's cheek, and then Hazel strode out of the tavern into the mists, followed by a dubious but resigned Owen. Cider watched them go till the mists had swallowed them up, and then closed the door. She made her way back through the shifting crowd, frowning thoughtfully, and then sat down at a table tucked away in a niche at the rear of the tavern. The young man sitting there, wearing a white thermal suit, raised an eyebrow inquisitively. His name was Cat, a slender young man barely into his 20s, but with a lifetime's experience of surviving in the streets of Mistport. He had a pleasant, open face, dominated by steady, dark eyes and pockmarked cheeks, and there was nothing he wouldn't do for Cider. He was a roof runner, a burglar specializing in the upper stories of the rich and careless, and mostly he worked on breaking and entering jobs set up by Cider, who also acted as his fence. Cat was a deaf mute, but he didn't let it slow him down. On the roofs, it made no difference at all. He watched Cider's lips carefully as she spoke, and waited patiently for his instructions.
Big things are happening in Mistport once again. I can feel it in my bones. There has to be a way I can make money on this if I just keep my wits about me. And if I can keep Hazel and her young lord alive long enough. I don't think they realize just how desperate their situation is. Half the city's probably out looking for them by now. I'd turn them in myself if I didn't know Hazel so much. I want you to go after them, Cat. Stay out of sight, but help them where you can. Be discreet. We don't want any involvement being traced back to us. Not till we can see who's likely to come out on top. Well, you're playing guardian angel. I'll send a discreet little note to Tobias Moon. Put him together with Hazel and the Death Stalker, and all kinds of interesting things might happen. Well, don't just sit there, darling. There's work to be done and plots to be spun.
Cat nodded quickly, kissed her goodbye, did it again because he enjoyed it, and bounded to his feet. He pushed open the window beside him and dived out into the cold air and swirling mists. He slammed the window shut and then clambered up the outer wall of the tavern with practiced ease. It only took a few minutes to haul himself up over the heavy iron guttering and onto the gabled roof of the Blackthorn, and he crouched there for a long moment like a ghostly gargoyle, looking out over an undulating sea of roofs, stretching away into the gray haze of the mists. Cat was back in his element again. he set off across the roofs of Thieves' Quarter in search of Hazel and Owen, secure in the knowledge that they'd never even know they were being followed. The Abraxas Information Center turned out to be a single floor above a bakery in a quiet but seedy part of Merchant's Quarter. The smell of baking bread was heavy on the air, and Owen's stomach rumbled loudly. He tried to think how long it had been since he'd sat down to a decent meal of at least four courses, and the answer depressed him. He was always hungry after boosting anyway, and he headed for the bakery door with a determined step. Hazel took him by the arm with an equally firm grip and steered him past the bakery door and up the exterior stairs to the next floor.
You can eat later. Business first.
Owen sniffed and allowed himself a quiet sulk as Hazel led the way up the creaking wooden stairs. Whatever confidence he might have had in the Abraxas Information Center was shrinking by the moment as he took in the drab nature of the building. It looked in definite need of repair, some of it urgent, and it clearly hadn't seen a coat of paint in years. Who or whatever Abraxas was, Owen was increasingly certain he wouldn't find any help here. Back on Viramond, he'd kept his stables in better condition than this. He sighed quietly. Viramond seemed like a long time ago, and it came as something of a shock to him to remember it was only a few days ago that he'd been its lord, and his world made sense. He pushed the thought firmly to one side. It didn't do to dwell too much on who he used to be or how much he'd lost. That way lay madness. He made himself concentrate on Abraxas. Presumably some sort of information-gathering service, with runners and clerks and communications people running everything through a primitive computer of some kind. He hated to think what kind of outdated junk they'd be using in a dump like this. Still, someone with a reputation like Jack Random should be easy enough to locate. It wasn't as if Mistport was a particularly big city. Besides, Ozymandias had found the address in his hidden files, which suggested some kind of connection between Abraxas and his father's convoluted intrigues. Owen sighed again, deeply. He'd spent most of his adult life trying to fashion a life of his own, untouched by his father's plans and ambitions, and here he was, sinking deeper and deeper into his father's legacy with every step he took. He realized Hazel had come to a stop at the top of the stairs, just in time to avoid bumping into her, and he let his hand rest on his sword hilt as she knocked more or less politely on the closed door before her. A brass plate fixed to the door read simply, Abraxas. There was no bell or knocker. Hazel was about to hammer with her fist when the door swung suddenly open before her. A large, muscular man, almost as broad as he was tall, filled the doorway. He wore black leather with metal studs, and half his face was hidden behind a complex and very ugly tattoo. He looked at Hazel and Owen and sniffed loudly, unimpressed.